Hello, and thank you for listening to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast, where we talk about all things marriage. We're honored to spend some time with you, and well done on investing in your relationship. It matters. Our goal is to encourage and equip you in your incredible adventure of marriage, whether you're in a low place or a high place. This is for us, those courageous enough to believe we can actually change the world, one marriage at a time, starting with our own. Please connect with us on our website, hoperelentless.com. And remember, there is always, always hope. Hey, hey, and welcome to the Hope Relentless Marriage Podcast. Chad and Sarah Gale here, and we are thrilled that you are joining us this whatever day it is for you that you're listening. And I want to remind you that you listening to the Hope Relentless Podcast is incredible. You are doing an amazing thing because you are changing the world. How are you changing the world, you ask? Good question. You're changing the world because marriages impact families. Families impact communities, and communities impact the world. So when you are investing in your marriage and you are giving it your best, you are investing in everything that comes with it. And it's a ripple effect. So it's incredible.
That's right. We love people that are investing and prioritizing their relationship. If we do different things, we will get different results. And one of the privileges we have when we work with couples is recognizing patterns, recognizing maybe obstacles or things that trip couples up, and then seeing what helps couples experience breakthrough. And we know that the prioritization of a relationship and being intentional is a common pattern that we see in couples that are thriving. And so today we're going to continue the conversation around different questions or different comments that come up in counseling sessions and what it looks like to navigate that conversation with a couple, and ultimately determining how do we structure our household? How do we structure and respond to maybe the pressures or the responsibilities of life in a way where we want our marriages to thrive? We don't want to be reactive. We don't want to move the marriage to the back burner as kind of an afterthought. And so today we're going to look at three more questions. And this first one is, kids come first. Do kids come first? And the reason we look at this is transitions are a major potentially turning point in relationships. And so kids, mm-hmm. in the midst of the blessing that they are, can also be a pivotal time in marriages where the environment and the intentionality around the marriage changes. So babe, what are your thoughts about this idea? Do kids come first?
Yeah, I think it's a very common thought. And I want to start with speaking from my experience as a mama. And oh my goodness, I got to tell you, when you see your child born and you realize that you are a mom, it's incredible. There's nothing like it. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, there was something in there. Cause it's just like, it's inside you and now it's outside. It's absolutely miraculous. And so I had to really be intentional about my attention and where my attention was, because I wanted to give it all to that bundle of joy that I was blessed with. And also, you know, we got to keep that bundle of joy alive. And so it makes sense that a lot of the attention, just practically speaking, and time goes towards them, because there's a lot when it comes to raising kids and babies and all that. So I understand that. And what I did was I started a group, and it was of other moms in similar season of life. And the focus of the group was to really help us to encourage our husbands, to be honest. It was encourage our husbands, and then also it was to grow in our faith. So we talked about Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and all else will be added, because we knew that we needed the strength of the Lord in this new season of life more than ever. And so that was a huge focus. But then we also focused on this encouragement challenge, where it was doing intentional things, intentional acts of kindness to our husband, because we knew that our attention would most likely go towards our child, because that it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing that we want to do. But one thing that I know is that no man wants to be second fiddle to their own child. You know, and I think it's families are experienced best when there's some sort of an order where you have husband and wife, and then you have the children, and the children aren't leading the house, but the children are contributing and they're a part of the house. But that relationship with husband and wife, that was first, you know, and in a sense, we choose our spouse, right? Whereas our kids, a lot of times people will say, hey, you know, I can leave my spouse, but I will never leave my kids. And I think that's interesting because not that I want people to leave their kids, but I think it's interesting that we see our kids as a more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Like a stronger bond.
Yes, a stronger bond. Whereas in marriage, I think what the potential in marriage is it's a covenant relationship. It's meant to last for this entire time we're on this earth, where our kids, they grow up and they leave. And they start their own family. And so I can just go on and on about this because I have had to work through it and navigate it myself. So those are just some things from my early experiences. And I'll pass it off to you, Chad, and probably come back and have more to add.
Yeah. In this idea of do kids come first? You know, I loved what you talked about. From a biblical perspective, marriage is a covenant. You know, it says that we will leave and the two will become one. And so there is essentially this, the ideal is a permanence of that relationship. Now we know divorces happen and God still has a purpose and a plan for our lives if we have experienced a divorce. But to highlight the value from a kingdom perspective of our marriage is important. But I think there's this idea with kids, or I guess maybe I'll back up and say transitions for marriages are important to be aware of. And so when a transition happens, maybe it's moving, maybe it's a major career shift, maybe it's the birth of a child, maybe it's a child who is now an adult and goes on to college, or maybe they're still at home, but they're an adult. So it's a transition in way the home operates. As husbands and wives, we want to be aware of transitions and recognize that these are the easy moments for our marriage to take a back seat. And the reality mm-hmm. is there might be moments or seasons where our marriage is in the backseat, but big picture, like that's not going to work. The marriage is going to slowly decay and die if it's on the backseat for an extended period of time. And so obviously our kids are important. And obviously when we have a child enter the home, there's an adjustment of responsibility and like availability, right? The kid's crying. The kid needs food. He needs support. He needs love. He needs encouragement. All these things are great. And so it doesn't mean there is a reality that our time, our undistracted time together is going to change. But right. I think when we continue to have a level of intentionality and find within the new season, how do we prioritize our relationship? What does it look like in this season to be intentional? Like you and I, we talk about the importance of dates. Mm-hmm. Well, our kids are old. We don't need a babysitter to go on a date, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't have to find somebody to come over, watch the kids, pay for them. Whereas when they're little, it's a different season. So right. honestly, going on dates was harder when they're little, because if the babysitter cancels or one of your kids is sick or there's more yeah. obstacles. And so yep. the reality is in different seasons, what it looks like to prioritize the marriage is going to look differently before kids, with little kids, with older kids, with adult kids. But at the end of the day, the relationship, the marriage needs to be a priority. And I think the last thing I'll kind of say is studies show that kids feel loved and feel safe when the relationship between mom and dad seems stable and thriving. And so one of the best gifts that we can give our kids is to love our spouse, to love their mom or dad well, because it helps the kids to have a sense of safety and confidence that the home environment is stable.
Right. And it also gives them clarity, I think, because I think it can get confusing for a child as they're growing up and they're trying to figure out where's their place, where do they fit in different areas. And at different times, they're kind of the same as mom or the same as dad. Like they're running the show. Their way is the way that is chosen every time. And so I think when we kind of create a bit of a boundary when it comes to, oh, okay, mom and dad, we have a special relationship, you know, and you guys, we love you, but you know, if there's going to be teams, mom and dad are on the same team and you guys are on the same team, but we all work together, right? So I think that is, it's helpful to have that clarity for children. And another thing I wanted to say is our mindset around this area, I think is crucial because like Chad was saying, it is challenging. It's a challenging season. We're tired. We don't feel like it. And I just want to say that there is grace for you in this season. We're not going to do things perfectly. We never will do things perfectly. Yeah. And it's going to take some time to get into some kind of a rhythm. And to be honest, as soon as you find that rhythm, it's going to change because the kids are going to change. And so the point though is if our mindset is one that says, hey, our marriage is priority, even in the midst of having kids, then we can start to work together and come up with solutions as far as how can we sneak in time together? What do we need to do to make this happen? Rather than, oh, it is what it is. And it's okay. We're just not going to see each other for the first 7 years of the kid's life. And I think that's unfortunately what many of us do, because again, research will show 7 years is a popular time for divorces to happen. And if you think about the life cycle of a marriage, a lot of times year seven, you have young kids. And so another research from Gottman will say that, I think he says like 70% of couples don't recover their initial intimacy after they have kids. And so wow. Everything is telling us like, this is a huge area where we're missing it, that we really need to be diligent to make sure we are prioritizing the marriage, because those little faces are so cute. And again, the natural instinct is to just focus on them. And I still catch myself doing that. And Chad, you called me out, I think the other day. I feel like I said goodnight to the boys, and then I didn't say goodnight to you on my marriage podcast. That sounds very, very bad that I didn't do that. But he called me out on it because I still like, they're so cute, even though they're teenagers, they're just so, so cute to me. And it's easy to put the focus and give that extra energy towards them, but they're especially going to be gone from my house, most likely very soon. I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old, whereas I'm going to be looking at this face here that's on the podcast with me for the rest of my life. So it kind of just makes sense of where I need to invest more of my time and energy if there was a limit to what to invest.
And we see that with couples. The kids become adults and all of a sudden, you know, they're in this house, and instead of in the house with their spouse and their best friend, they're in this house with like a roommate / stranger. I mean, you think about the, you know, you have two or three kids somewhere in there. If you prioritize the kids, that means somewhere around 20 years, give or take a couple of years, the marriage has been put on the back burner. Like, that's a long time. And all of a sudden the kids are gone doing their own thing. And so that's why it's so important to continue to invest in the marriage. The kids are important, but the marriage should take priority. And part of the conversation is finding that rhythm of what that looks like for your individual family, so that in each season, we are being intentional with that relationship and figuring out, how do we make our relationship grow and thrive? How do we keep it whole and healthy in this particular season?
All right. So we'll move on to the next question. This question is more of a statement, and it sounds like marriage is 50-50. And so I'll let you start off on this one, Chad. What do you think when someone is asking, is marriage 50-50?
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand people's intentions is like, to have a healthy marriage, both people have to contribute, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you just think about a partnership is split down the middle, 50-50. But what you and I like to actually say is that marriage is 100 and 100. And by that, we mean I have to take 100% ownership of how I show up, 100% ownership for how I react. The challenge potentially, and it could just be a perspective thing of 50-50, is, well, what if you're not bringing 50? Do I match? If let's say you only bring in 40 or only bring in 25, do I match that? And I think that what we've seen is when couples talk about this 50-50, it's almost like, well, I'm withholding because they're withholding. And mm-hmm. if they contribute, or if they give, or if they share, or if they open up, then I will reciprocate. Whereas we're kind of coming from a different place where, no, that's like big picture, that mindset's going to be problematic, because in our relationship, we're going to have different times where we don't show up as the best version of ourselves. And so now, if I don't show up as the best version, and so you respond and you don't show up as the best version of yourself, so then I respond and then you respond. Yep. Now it's a race to the bottom, right?
Yep.
Whereas this idea of 100 and 100 is I'm taking ownership and accountability over myself, and I'm mm-hmm. trusting that as I continue to do that, that you will respond, or vice versa. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think it goes into the whole thing we talk about when we're talking about teammates. You know, your spouse is your teammate. And sometimes when you're thinking of a sport, for example, you recognize that teammates have different roles. And so if we're trying to keep track as far as quantify, you know, if you're playing basketball, for example, did the guard do exactly what the forward did and that the center did and all, it's like, that's impossible to do. And it's also unproductive. So I think when it comes to 50-50, it's unrealistic, because we are personally, as people, we are not able to monitor like what the percentage of what we're giving. And so then that creates a lot of arguments, because it's all subjective, right? It's like, oh, well, I gave this. And then it's like, wait a minute though, but I gave this. And in my mind, this is more than this. And it just feels gross. Like just even thinking about the 50-50, I think of the scripture in 1 Corinthians where it talks about what love is. And it says, love does not keep track of wrongs and rights. You know, it's not keeping track. And so it's one of those things where even when we look again at the covenant relationship of marriage, it is not a transaction. There's nothing transactional about it. It's a covenant. It's a promise. And it's one of those things where I think it operates best when, like Chad was saying, we can bring 100% of us, and we can give where we see there needs to be something given. And I think even having that mentality of, hey, I'm here to serve. Like I'm here to see how I can add strength. How many positive things can I fill the atmosphere with today? Let's make that positive ratio greater than the negative ratio or the indifferent ratio, where it's just neutral. And so I think if we can start to look more at not, hey, did he give me what I'm giving him? Did she give me what I'm giving her? But rather, what can I give? As long as I have breath to give, I'm going to give. What can I give? And it's not dependent on what he or she gives. And I think that's empowering, because when it's like 50-50, there's a lot of victim mentality that can come with that as well, because it's like, oh, woe is me. Like I'm doing all the work. And so I get that in the sense of there's real conversations I've had with couples where, one of you is doing all the work. And I think what's required there is a conversation. Let's talk about expectations, roles, things, so that we can make sure that you guys are taking ownership for your part, rather than continuing to just to passively do everything and build up this resentment and keep track. So that's what I would say on that.
Yeah. And I think when we have those conversations with couples around roles and responsibilities and expectations in the household, and a lot of this 50-50, 100-100, it's a mindset, it's a perspective. Like the actual mm-hmm. percentage can get into semantics, right? But when couples have the perspective of bringing as much value to the relationship as they can versus, well, I'm only willing to contribute as much as they are, it shapes the way that conversation goes. Because one, both people are coming in with like open hands and a level of curiosity of how do we work together to address these challenges or these opportunities that we're facing as a couple or as a family. Whereas when we get into that 50-50, then it's like, well, I would do more, but they're not. And so it's like, well, who really wins in that scenario? And there's other seasons of life where your spouse might be going through something. And so what they're able to contribute in that season is less. It's, you know, there could be a health issue. A spouse could be processing some major grief, or, you know, there could be different things where in those seasons, what somebody can contribute on a practical level is less than normal. And so that's a moment where the other spouse needs to rise up and potentially take more on for a season, and think about how challenging it would be if in a 50-50 scenario where then they both retreat. It's hard to imagine that situation creating an environment that they both want to be a part of. And I think that's where relationships can take these drastic turns towards decay and eventually towards death, towards divorce, right? Because they both start to withhold. So so we are not big fans of marriage being 50-50.
Yes, not big fans. So Chad, should we address the third question or save it for next time?
I think this one might be a longer conversation, so maybe we will save it for next time.
Ooh, the suspense. Should we tell him? What do you think?
Yeah, we can tell him.
Okay. So the next question was, can a marriage survive an affair? Dun, dun, dun. You'll know next week when we talk about it. And I want to end this session with appreciation time. And so, Chad, one thing I appreciate about you is that you are, what's the word I want to say? You are an overcomer, or you are, I'll just describe it and then you can think of the word. When you keep getting up, you know, you keep trying, you don't give up, you don't give up. It's like, if you're trying to achieve something, accomplish something, and you're failing, you're going to keep going. And you've taught me a lot in that, because sometimes I'm like, oh, it's just not going to work. Or I just get discouraged. But you're like, no, let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep working on it. And we're going to see fruit. And so I really appreciate that about you.
Thanks, babe. You're welcome. One of the things I appreciate about you is how hard of a worker you are. That when you've got a project that you're working on, there are times where I'm like, babe, let's go to bed. And you're like, no, I'm going to push through. I'm going to persevere. I want to finish this project. And I think our relationship and our family is just your example of work ethic and hard work is incredible. So I appreciate your hard work.
Thank you. And so for those of you listening, we just kind of like to say nice things to each other, but it is also modeling, hopefully for you, to do this with your spouse, because I think it's important to publicly and privately appreciate one another, look eye to eye, and say some specific things. It really does fill that atmosphere with goodness. And so we want to keep doing it. We want to fill it with goodness over and over again. That's why we do it. Well, it's about that time to end the podcast. And so I want to say what I always say, that no matter what season of life that you're in your marriage, that I want you to be encouraged, because there is always, always hope.